The Jays and Royals make a deal. Danny Valencia joining the Jays, Eric Kratz and Liam Hendricks joining the Royals. Hendricks down to AAA, Kratz on the Major League roster. By the way, when you're off the air with me, you got to check out Eric Kratz's turkey bacon ad that he did when he was with the Philadelphia Phillies. Trust me. Sounds good. The interesting thing about Danny Valencia, obviously he fills a role for the Jays in that they've been looking for that type of player for a while to give them a little bit of oomph against left-handed pitching. But I also understand that in recent days, Ned Yost had talked about possibly giving he and Raul Ibanez a little more time at DH over Billy Butler. Is that a reflection of how well Valencia was swinging the bat, or a reflection of just how abject Billy Butler has been at times?
Yeah, it's more the latter. It's more about how Butler's just been really so brutal this year. But, I mean, Valencia is, I mean, he is what he's advertised as. He's a very good hitter against left-handed pitchers. Now, he's not, like, really a power hitter, but, you know, I think he's batting 330 or 354 mm-hmm. against them this year. You know, I think he led the league in batting average against them last year, so... You know, he's good against lefties, but I think in this specific case, you know, they would much rather have Billy Butler playing every day, but Billy Butler just isn't the player he has been in years past.
What has happened to him? Because I know, obviously, John Gibbons knows him from his time with Kansas City, and I had been told in spring training when, you know, just sitting around and talking to some of the Jay scouts, you know, is there a guy out there that you guys might at some point like to make a play for? And a couple of them said, you know, I mean, Gibbons speaks really highly of Billy Butler, and, you know, depending on where things go with Adam and our first base and our DH situation, he might be a guy that we would look at some point. What's happened to him?
It's a great question. I mean, it's the sort of thing that I think the Royals and Billy and really people around the game have been trying to figure out all year. And, you know, it's a lot of it is probably just pitch selection. You know, he's he can't, you know, he's a ground ball hitter and he's not very fast. Mm-hmm. So that's not a great combination. And, you know, pitchers have just been kind of, you know, getting him to roll over on sinkers, getting him to chase stuff away, getting him to hit into, you know, pitches that will prevent him from, you know, getting the ball in the air. And he's been aggressive, you know, probably too aggressive. You know, his on-base percentage is down, obviously. The power is way, way down. And, you know, sometimes I wonder just like with, you know, Billy is a tremendous hitter. I mean, he's one of, you know, at the best pure hitters on the planet when he's going right. But, you know, his skill set as a baseball player is pretty limited. You know, he's not particularly fast. He doesn't have a ton of power. You know, he really just has, you know, incredible hand, eyesight, you know, all those sort of minute skills that make you a good hitter. And, you know, sometimes I wonder, you know, as you get older, if any one of those, you know, just goes down just a little bit, you know, his hand speed takes a step back. I don't really, you know, it's obviously a whatever personification mm-hmm. or something, or, you know, if his eyesight goes just a little bit, just getting a little bit older, you know, because his skill set is so specific, if, you know, maybe that's when it falls apart. It's a hard thing to say, but, you know, there's nothing really you can point to besides just his pitch selection has been off.
Yeah. And I know from talking to John Gibbons, and we just kind of talked about Billy. I just asked him the same question. He said He kind of said the same thing, because it's not like the guy doesn't work hard. I mean, it's not like right. The guy's, you know, he's not a great athlete, but he says he's certainly not a guy who's going to sit around and eat all day, not right. all the time anyhow. And
he
yeah,
it's healthily enough. Yeah.
Yeah. It's but I think you may be right. You just get to a point where there isn't enough athleticism there to maybe diminish some of the diminishing that's going on, or slow down some of the diminishing that's going on.
Yeah, I mean, that's all I can come up with, just, you know, kind of just thinking out loud and just based, because no one really has an explanation. You know, it's not like his hand speed is markedly different. It's not like his, you know, plate discipline is that much worse, but it's just little things. I think they incrementally add up where, you know, he's a limited baseball player. You know, he has a limited, very specific skill. And so any sort of small, you know, step back in that skill is going to hurt him a lot.
Andy McCulloch is the Royals beat writer for the Kansas City Star. What does Eric Kratz bring to the table as far as the Royals are concerned?
You know, he brings power potential, although they had a guy, Francisco Pena, hitting about 20 home runs in AAA. And so it's interesting. I mean, I think a lot of this move, you know, to hear Dayton Moore talk about it last night, was designed to get Christian Colon up to the majors. He was their first round pick in 2010, and they want him up as a kind of a utility guy, that sort of thing, to back up second base and shortstop. And I guess they felt that instead of DFAing Raul Ibanez or DFAing Nori Aoki or, you know, playing with a short staff, you know, they had to make a move on the infield, and so that left Valencia's expendable, and rather than just, you know, cut him loose, they made the best deal they could, and so they upgraded a little bit at backup catcher. You know, Kratz is a better hitter than Brett Hayes. You know, I've heard only good things about Kratz, you know, as a human being and clubhouse guy and game call and all those things, but, you know, also Brett Hayes was batting 135, and everyone, you know, on the coaching staff was saying how great he was handling pitchers, so, you know, that's kind of, who knows? He's not going to play much, you know? I mean, Sal Perez is, now that I think about it, hold on, I'm really good at my job, you couldn't already tell. I guess if they feel like Kratz is, if they feel like Kratz is a serviceable backup and can, you know, be an upgrade there, you can play Perez some at DH to get Butler out of the lineup. So, you know, that's part of it, I'm sure.
What are the, what else are the Royals likely to do as we approach the deadline?
You know, they've apparently backed off on Marlon Byrd and Alex Rios because the prices are pretty high. Again, you know, it's Marlon Byrd, I think, has had a pretty good career renaissance, but he's also, you know, 36 and 2 years removed from, you know, like a 488 OPS and a drug suspension. And to get him to waive his no trade, they probably have to, you know, guarantee two more years at $8 million a year per, and that's a lot. Rios is a pretty average player, I think. And, you know, you saw him there in kind of his peak, obviously, in Toronto. He's pretty much declined since then. And, you know, and he's due, I think, $13.5 million next year, and that's a lot of money for the Kansas City Royals. You know, that's a ton of money. So I would just, you know, they've kind of backed off that because they would have to, you know, go that route. You know, they're in on lots of different bullpen guys. You know, you hear Bastardo. I think there's a report out of Boston today. They're interested in Andrew Miller. You know, one interesting thing I saw, because Gordon Eads from ESPN Boston had today, is they called on John Lackey. And Lackey makes some sense, obviously, because he's an upgrade, and he's making the big league minimum next year. So, but also, if you're the Red Sox, I don't know why you exactly would trade John Lackey, because I'm sure the Red Sox feel like they can win next year. So, there's a couple irons in the fire. I don't think they have – there is a persistent doubt from people outside the organization that they have the money to spend, that, you know, that they have the financial capability to add serious salary, which is a big weapon this time of year, because a lot of times in order to get back the players you want and not have to give up huge amounts, you know, prospects or whatever, you have to take on salary, and they apparently don't have that flexibility according to, you know, people who've dealt with them thus far.
Yeah, and I also wonder, we're joined by Andy McCulloch of the Kansas City Star, by the way. I also wonder if maybe they're not a bit like the Blue Jays in that they may do a lot of their moves, or they may make some of their moves after the deadline passes, where, you know, you might be able to grab somebody on the cheap for a player to be named.
Yeah, I think that's something they're certainly going to be interested in. You know, a couple weeks from now, as when this whole thing starts ramping up again, this wonderful season of trade deadline, which is such a joy to cover. They'll be in on those guys because, again, the money is a little bit less. The, you know, the prospects you have to give up is a little bit less, and they still have, you know, they still kind of need to see how if Billy Butler's brief renaissance these last few days is something that can be sustained, if Eric Hosmer's hand injury is serious, or they have to make sort of a more solid move there to replace him. So there's a bunch of factors in it. So just if they don't do, if they don't do much of anything at the deadline, they're still going to be involved as the weeks go on.